SRN. And welcome to another edition of Dr. Drew's Two Cents. I'm your host, Drewster Cogburn. With me, as always, my co-host, the host of another podcast that I'm on. We're not talking about movies, so screw that podcast. His name's Chris Crespo.
Yo, going on?
How's it going, dude?
Going good. How you doing, man?
It's another month. It's another episode of Dr. Drew's Two Cents.
Finally. Finally. Can't wait.
Finally?
Yes.
Really? I kind of dread these things.
Why, man?
Well, because it means I have to do something. Like, I actually have to, like, get my shit together and put forth something
that's
halfway
decent.
Do a little
bit of show prep? Yeah. Come on.
I'm just saying, I'm not used to it, man.
Well,
I'm not used to it.
Well, I'm just letting you know, no pressure, but the first edition of Dr. Drew's Two Cents, which we released last month.
Yes.
One of our highest downloaded episodes for the last couple months. So,
wow.
So there you
awesome.
Go.
Awesome. Thank you, downloaders, and everybody who's listening. Thank you very much. It's very surprising, not going to lie. I was going to be surprised if only our subscribers downloaded. You know, just the people who just get it.
The basic.
Yeah. I was kind of surprised that other people did too.
Got good feedback on them, dude, so people are enjoying them.
Awesome. Well, thank you, everybody. This time around, you know, I like to switch it up every month, do a little something different every time. This time around, we're going to be talking about...
What are we talking about?
Comic books.
Oh, snap, here we go.
One of my other passions. If you listen to the other podcast that shall not be named, then on that show, I am the go-to comic book and video game guy. And... my last episode was about comic books. Video games. So this episode is going to be about comic books because it's my two fortes, if you will. My strengths. We will get to my weaknesses in later months. And it will be just as fun, if not more so. Comic books, Chris. What do you think about comic books? Do you have any interest in comic books? Were you a comic book kid? Into it at all?
Growing up, I was into comic books, but not like not that much into them. I didn't subscribe to any.
Yeah,
I got a couple of Spider-Mans, Batmans, Supermans, the basic guys. You know, a couple of X-Men here and there.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I used to do, we would go to a JCPenney outlet store at a specific mall in the Northeast when I was younger, and they had somewhere off randomly. I discovered this. They would have brown boxes just stuffed with comic books, and you could buy the whole box for like $2, $3. But it was all, you know, it was like a grab bag. You had to buy the whole thing.
Yeah.
So I would come home with just some of the worst comic books, things you never heard of, but also.
Ooh, like what? Like you might.
I can't remember.
You'd
the
be
bad
surprised
ones.
What I've heard of.
I can't remember the bad ones, but I can remember there were some decent ones. Like I had some G.I. Joe ones in there.
Yeah.
And there was some interesting stuff.
The G.I. Joe ones were fun because they reminded me a lot of the cartoon.
Yeah, exactly.
Some of them were just straight up storyboards, probably of the cartoon that I just seen Sunday morning.
Right, pretty much. That's what they look like.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I mean, I was into them. I got some of the big ones, the big issues that I'm sure that'll come up during the show. But no, at the end of the show, I do have a couple comic books that I actually still have.
You want to brag about?
That I'm gonna bust out at the end. I'm
no
like,
word.
Like, you didn't talk about these comic books.
Yeah.
So,
awesome. So okay, I'm looking forward to that.
Awesome.
Me, myself, personally, I was into I've been into comic books since I can remember. My dad was into comic books. So it kind of got passed on.
That makes sense.
You know, it's kind of like the family heirlooms. Like, I mean, all the comic books I have now are what's my collection started with what was left of my dad's collection.
Okay.
You know, I mean, throughout the years.
And what stuff was included in there?
Well, he had, you know, he'd been collecting comics since he was a kid.
So we're talking like Archie comics and stuff, original
well,
Archies?
No. I'm talking Marvel mostly and a lot of old DC as well.
60s Marvel.
So more like 70s.
Okay.
But yeah. Okay. But I mean, he had some good stuff. You know, he told me he had X-Men number one two different times.
Nice.
Both of them had to be sold. One of them, one of them, his mom made him sell, and the other one, my mom made him sell. So
that's funny.
Yeah, yeah.
I do remember this growing up, and I remember I was still pretty young, but I was old enough to know that it was a shame that I had a Fantastic Four, like number 22,
like really old,
a really old one, and it was beat to shit.
Yeah, yeah.
It had every page; you could still read the whole thing, but the whole was beat to crap.
At a certain point in time, like back in the 90s, you could have gotten decent money for it. Just because it was what it was.
It was pretty old.
Nowadays, no, not a chance. No. Now it is all about the... I mean, yeah, having the comics nice, but if the condition isn't good, it's not worth a dime.
Yeah, exactly. It's got to be mint. And that was so... That thing was so not mint. It looked like I had read it a bunch of times when I was really young in bed, and then like I fell asleep and then rolled over on it. Yeah. Oh, man, it was bad.
I never read comic books in bed. My dad also passed on to me the knowledge that comic books might be worth something. If it's important, you know, read it. Yeah, of course. You know, do your thing. Read it, but you know, don't bend the pages. Put it in a plastic sleeve if you really want to keep it.
Right.
Because you know, paper goes to shit after a while. It's just the nature of paper.
Well, yeah, anything you want to collect, you want to preserve.
Exactly.
I went through that with baseball cards.
Ah, yes.
Someone was like, you want to save these cards? Well, here's some binders to put the cards in. You're not getting your finger oils on them and stuff. You know,
Yeah. So, started off with that, you know, and had subscriptions throughout my young age.
Subscriptions to what?
Comic books.
But I mean, to like
I was pretty much a Marvel kid.
Okay.
I mean, I knew of the I know about the DC universe because of the older DC comics that I've read.
Yeah.
But I don't really follow and never really did.
So you're a Marvel guy.
Yeah, I'm a Marvel guy. So for me, it was a lot of X-Men, Spider-Man's,
right.
Every once in a while, the X-Force when it. Because it tied in, and it was also illustrated by the same guy.
Things X related,
yeah.
Like I had a Weapon X. I had a random Weapon X. That, like, it, if you don't know nothing about Wolverine, it makes no sense whatsoever. It's a very interesting little.
Yeah, issue. It is. Well, it's Weapon X is more a Wolverine prequel.
Yeah. Yeah,
of sorts.
Yeah, so if you just read like one issue, not knowing anything about
you're totally lost.
It's like, what the hell is this?
That was
me. I was more likely to read one issue of a book and be like, what? I don't know. That was cool, I guess. And then not bother to like find other ones. So, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you see, I was a monthly reader, you know, for a while. I was following the story and this, that, the other.
Yeah.
Mostly X-Men. I don't know what it was about the X-Men.
They're the coolest.
I guess
they're the most varied.
Yeah.
They're the most real world ones. Wolverine. I remember, definitely. Obviously, talking about when we were kids. I was reading a random X-Men comic, and my parents were in the room. Like, my mom was there, and I was reading it. And Wolverine walks in with, like, there's a bunch of people in there, and Wolverine walks in. They're literally walking into someone's apartment, and he's smoking a cigar, like he always does.
Yeah.
And either he goes to the fridge and pulls out a six-pack, or he brings his own six-pack of beer, and he sits down and uses claw to pop a can, and he starts drinking the beer. And I'm like, Mom, this Wolverine, he's drinking a beer. This is so awesome. And I couldn't explain why it was awesome at the time. I just thought it was. That look, a comic character's drinking a beer, and she was like...
Real-world stuff?
Yeah, and she was like, that's not what's awesome about...
Well, I mean...
Like, she questioned, like, what am I reading? That's probably why she didn't really encourage my comic book reading, because of things like that, you know? But it really is because... it was set in a real world. You know, they were like, Wolverine was a real dude. He was adamantium infused, immortal Wolverine guy, but he was a real dude. He liked beer and cigars and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So, I mean, I think that's why the X-Men has a leg up on a lot of other, and Spider-Man, because Spider-Man's a nerd.
And what a lot of people don't realize about comic books, and even cartoons the same way, they are created by and originally created for adults.
Originally, yes.
It just so happened that kids got into it, and then it kind of took on that kiddie tone.
Because they found out, well, here's a huge audience that we can...
tap into.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, with anything artistic, you know, fantasy is the limit. You can have dragons and you can do whatever. Whatever you can draw can be...
Science fiction, same thing.
Can be in the comic book.
Right.
So...
That makes sense.
But, yeah. So, it makes sense that Wolverine smokes cigars and drinks beer because adults smoke cigars and drink beer.
Yeah.
It's drawn by a dude who was probably smoking a joint while he was drawing the whole thing. So, know?
And my mom could sense that, and she was like, I don't approve of this.
This is too real for my son.
At that age,
cannot break the fantasy of childhood.
You know what? At that age, maybe. Maybe she could. She was right.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. When I was a little kid, I really did enjoy my comic books for the fantasy value. You know, they broke me away from the real world.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, this, that, the other. So, you know, it was good. It was fantastic. But holy crap, comic books. There are so many to even, I mean, how many comic book companies can you list right now, Chris? You can think of right now how many comic book companies, like
four. Obviously, there's Marvel and DC, which we already talked about. There's Image, which we were just talking about the other day, which is the only reason why I can come up with it right away.
Yeah.
Dark Horse.
Correct. That is a different one.
And what's another one of those crazy alt ones? So Dark Horse is the McFarlane one.
Yeah.
Right?
But Dark Horse is its own label. It is not associated with anything else.
Yeah, it's its own thing. Exactly.
Opposed to like Vertigo, where Vertigo.
Vertigo.
Okay, but Vertigo is part of DC. Okay, technically.
I got you.
Technically,
they're a subsidiary.
Yeah, they're technically DC owns Vertigo. They're more.
They're independent label.
Well, they're independent and more adult label.
I got you.
I
could make a movie corollary, but I won't.
Like Marvel, they have their Max Comics, M-A-X, where
Marvel for more, adults.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's more Marvel for adults.
All right.
There's also IDW. I don't know if you remember them at all. They make a lot of weird comics. I'm actually going to talk about, I think, an IDW. Oh, maybe not. There used to, do you remember Top Cow?
No.
Top Cow was big for a while.
No.
Lady Death?
Nope.
And, oh, God, Evil Ernie?
Nope.
Oh, man, if you looked up the Evil Ernie, you might recognize his little smiley face because it was really popular.
Really?
And now we're kind of getting into maybe the more the middle school, early high school years where I was still still reading comic books.
Uh-huh.
But I started to realize that there were other comic book producers other than Marvel, DC. When I was growing up, it was bipartisan. You know, there was Marvel, there was DC. And if you weren't a Marvel guy, you were a DC guy. And not a lot of people crossed the borders. Some people, they were Batman, Justice League, Superman, or X-Men, Spider-Man, Fantastic Four.
You know, outside of Superman, no, and Batman. You know what? Based on what I've read the most, I guess I'm a DC guy. Based on what I read the most. But is that true, though? Because I like Spider-Man and X-Men. Who else is there? How else can I make this decision between? Because I'm looking at Superman and Batman on one side versus Spider-Man and the X-Men on the other. For me, personally, that's all that's separating DC and Marvel for me right now.
Yeah.
That matters. Is there anyone else that should matter that I should be thinking about?
Yeah.
That could sway the pendulum either way?
I mean...
Do I give a shit about... Which one's Punisher?
Punisher's Marvel.
Okay, so that's one for when, and Hulk is cool.
Well, that's the whole, you know, the whole Avengers thing. We're talking.
Yeah, but I mean, I could go without Thor or all the human Avengers.
Yeah, I mean, Captain America's good.
Cap is
got
cool.
You got the Fantastic Four,
but then you got Aquaman.
Aquaman's DC.
Is he DC?
That's Justice League.
Whoa, that's a negative for DC. Oh, you know what? Super Friends. Is Super Friends all that DC?
Yeah. Okay, but then you also have to realize for Marvel, you've got instead of Aquaman, you have Namor, the Submariner.
Oh, I thought he was lame too.
Yeah, well, he's. I always thought it was fun when he would fight the Human Torch. You know, water versus fire. Always good, epic battles.
Silver Surfer,
yeah.
Who's that?
That's Marvel.
I think I'm a Marvel guy.
All right,
I think so.
Yeah,
I love Superman and Batman. But I mean, that Aquaman, though.
I mean, I don't know.
That's a negative.
everything has their ups and downs. But yeah, Top Cow, man.
Top Cow. Nope, never
heard of Top Cow. Top Cow was big in the 90s. IDW, Dreamwave. There's all sorts of other stuff. But, I mean, for the most part, there's... I mean, the major market shares is DC and Marvel. That's what you get. And they've got, like, a 25 to 30% share holding strong. Mm-hmm. Marvel more so as of late because of the popularity of all the movies, obviously.
Obviously, right.
And the Marvel Civil War and all that bullshit that I never paid attention to.
Which was... What time period was that? The 2000s?
That's way later. We'll get to that later.
All right.
But yeah, I mean, for the most part, it's you know, Marvel, DC, even Image, in the heyday, Image had like a 15% market share, and it has just steadily dropped since then.
That's not bad, though, for going against those titans that have been around for so long.
Yeah.
And really, who was their flagship?
Well,
Spawn?
The 90s was big for comics.
Well, that was the explosion.
Yeah. Well, that was the re-explosion. There was a golden age in the day,
right,
like in the 60s and in the, you know, in the 70s, during, mm-hmm, especially during the wartime, because all the superheroes got to go to war. And it's great war propaganda for the government.
That is always a good thing.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. Like the one with the Superman punch out Hitler.
Yeah,
or something.
Superman's punching out Hitler. Yeah, you've got that. You know, you've got Spider-Man going up against the Japanese.
Oh yes, that's not
racist. I mean, just all sorts of really silly nonsense. I mean, and even before that, God, with all the campiness in the comic books, you know, they weren't even. Oh God, it was so terrible. I mean, that's where comic books were born, and I have respect for it, but it doesn't mean I like to read it.
Yes, but in the 90s...
That's when everything... Well, that's when it got real. Like, they had some really good artists. Personally, one of my favorites, Jim Lee. He did all the 90s X-Men. If you read X-Men in the 90s, illustrated by Jim Lee. And then, even in the 2000s, if you were reading Batman and Superman, mm-hmm, illustrated by Jim Lee.
Right on.
He is an amazing artist.
Name sounds familiar.
Yeah. You have seen his work.
Oh, yeah.
Whether you know it or not, I've
read X-Men in the 90s, so yeah.
Yeah, so you've seen his work.
Yeah.
But yeah, good stuff. I mean, the 90s was, I was really big into X-Men,
mm-hmm,
even more so than, mm-hmm, I was previously. I'm trying to think what else I was reading. Godness and Ghost Rider. Were you reading a Ghost Rider, Chris?
I read one issue of a Ghost Rider. I think I had one in one of those boxes, those brown boxes, over the years. I think there was one Ghost Rider.
Nice. Personally, I never read a lot of the actual Ghost Rider comic books, but I always got an issue of, it was called Marvel Comics Presents.
Okay.
And it was two comic books in one. You had a front issue and a back issue.
Mm-hmm.
And you read one, and then you had to flip it over so you could read the other side.
Okay.
That's the way it was printed.
Yeah.
And it was always, I mean, for the most part, when I was reading it, it was one of them was Ghost Rider, and the other one was Wolverine.
Oh, so you're getting them for the Wolverine stories, really? Or that's all you were... Did you only care about the Wolverine stories?
I was getting them for the Wolverine stories.
Yeah.
But it just so happened there was Ghost Rider stories in the back, so I read them.
And then you read a Ghost Rider story.
Yeah. Right. But dude, Ghost Rider was weird, man.
It's a weird Spirit of Vengeance. It's a weird character.
In the 90s, there was the original Johnny Blaze. Like, he had taken the Ghost Rider off him, and he was just a regular person again. But, you know, Ghost Rider was somebody else. But Johnny Blaze came back to be a superhero, but he didn't have any powers. I don't know.
Lame.
Weird.
So lame.
It was so strange. Man, and, oh, man, also in that comic book, there was some weird, like, somebody cloned Bucky. You remember Bucky from Captain America?
From Captain America, yeah.
Somebody cloned Bucky, and Johnny Blaze was riding around with a baby Bucky strapped to his back for, like, years, I think.
He was protecting baby Bucky?
It was so strange.
Baby clone Bucky?
I had no idea what the hell was going on. Because I really didn't read the Avengers that much. I really wasn't that into the Avengers. I mean, the only Avengers that I read, my dad had and gave to me the entire, when the X-Men fought the Avengers. The entire series. All the X-Men and the Avengers comic books that all went together, so you had a cohesive story.
Nice.
And that was really the only Avengers that I read.
I mean,
I have a bunch of them. I have probably hundreds of Avengers, even the Avengers West Coast.
West Coast? West Coast?
Which is all the Avengers that nobody cares about.
I read, an issue of What If.
Oh, I loved the What Ifs.
And it was a What If the Avengers was something something. Yeah, and it was just a different formation of the Avengers, which was at the time still had, it was Captain America was the lead, right? But the Submariner was in there.
Okay.
Wolverine.
Yeah.
But Wolverine was all, he was in permanent, like all white fur beast mode.
Okay.
He was like the Beast, but all white.
So maybe Wendigo, was that his name? Was it Wolverine?
No, he was still Wolverine. Okay. He was Logan Wolverine. Weird. They had to go to the Canadian Forest to get him.
Okay.
But yeah, he was like, I'm a crazy monster. Like, we need you in the Avengers. He's like, all right, cool. And I can't remember who the other ones were. And I just remember reading that. And, you know, it had the explanation in the beginning where the guy, who was it, Uatu the Watcher? He was like, here's the what if universe.
He
was like, here's my explanation, or here's another thing that's weird.
Yeah.
Like,
all right, cool. Dude, the what ifs were a lot of fun. My favorite back in the day was, what if Gwen Stacy had survived, a.k.a. Spider-Man 2?
Oh, interesting, yeah. Very interesting. Or the Amazing Spider-Man 2? No, they're good. We're not talking about movies.
Exactly, we're not talking about movies. But yeah, I mean, obviously, comic books have gotten so big lately that they've turned into movies, but we'll get to that.
Yeah.
But also, you know, Image was big in the 90s.
Yes. Spawn.
Can you name any other comic book?
Not a one.
I can only name one more, and I'm a comic book nerd.
Which one?
That
Top Cow thing?
No. Max. The Max. Do you remember? They had a cartoon.
The TV? Yeah.
They had a cartoon series. Yeah. It was based on a comic book.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right.
Good stuff. So if you've seen the cartoon, then you've read the comic book. Okay. So.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, I guess technically, I've read a little bit of that comic book then.
The Max.
Because I've seen a little bit of The Max.
Yeah. There was also a Spawn spinoff called Angel.
Good.
About some...
I already hate it.
Yeah, it was some hot girl who wore close to nothing that, you know, killed demons. There's a lot of that in comic books.
Well, that's cool, I guess.
Yeah. And then came the decade where Drew forgot about comic books.
Is that the double aughts?
Pretty much. Once 2000 rolled around, from 2000 to like 2009, I just didn't read a thing. Not a comic book to begin with.
Right on.
Do you know anything about the 2000s?
No, I stopped reading comics like earnestly. I never even read that earnestly. I stopped reading comics by the issue in like the mid-90s, mid to late 90s, so... I read a bunch of graphic novels over the last decade. I've gravitated to that.
Well, exactly. And that's what I want to get into next.
Oh,
but we will get into that because that's going to be a long conversation because the last 5 years, now that I've gotten back into comics, I've gotten out of the whole monthly issue thing where, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm waiting every month to read another 20 pages of a really awesome story. But, oh, man, I just...
And then they're going to charge you, like, what, $3.75 now? How much is a comic book? $4.50 for a monthly comic
book? Actually, I kind of want to... I have a statistic on that.
Because people still get them... They still get them now on, like, tablets and through apps and stuff. People still subscribe to comics.
Yeah. Well, no.
They just get them electronically.
Back in the day, 1997, average comic book price, $2.62.
Sounds about right.
2012, average price... $3.54.
Man, come on.
But, I mean, with the increased price comes increased revenue. I mean, dollar sales total for trade paperbacks each month. 1998, $15 million.
Okay.
2011, $84 million.
Whoa! That's a lot more than just a dollar per book, man.
And nowadays, we're starting to get back into the numbers of old. In 1997, the top 300 comic books each month circulated over 100 million copies.
Okay.
And then 1998, steadily drops. Then starts coming back up around 2009.
Interesting.
And now in 2012, well, last year, they got to a high of 80 million again. Going for, man, yeah, overall market of $700 to $730 million.
So it's still financially healthy industry, it seems.
Yes. Since the 90s, it's been financially healthy.
It's had a bit of a bounce back, it appears.
Nowadays, well, and
with that gay Spider-Man stuff.
Yeah, yeah, but that I think that has a lot to do with the franchising of the comic book series as a franchise. Because, I mean, in the 90s, you remember all the cartoons that came out. I mean, the Spider-Man cartoons on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
The X-Men cartoon that was so god-awful, but I watched every episode.
That was a pretty bad show. The Batman animated series was one of the greatest.
Really good.
One of the greatest things ever produced on television.
Agreed.
The Superman animated series, it was okay.
Done by the same guys.
For
some, but Superman's nowhere near as dark as Batman.
Yeah, it just wasn't as cool.
No, exactly. I mean, if I have to go over coolness factor, Batman wins.
Easily.
Superpower factor, Superman all the way.
Well, yeah, he's Superman.
Exactly. So.
Yeah. But if they were going to fight each other, I'm putting money on Batman. As long as you give me some odds, but. Superman gave him that kryptonite, man. It's hiding out. It's in the cave. He's like, he just got to go back to the cave and get the kryptonite, put on his crazy super mechanic bat suit that he's got that Frank Miller drew.
He's
good to go.
Batman has kryptonite. Everybody knows that. If you don't know that, Batman has a stash of kryptonite just in case.
Superman gave it to him.
He's had to use it a couple times already.
He's like, bruh, I might wig out.
And he does from time to time. Batman's got to come to the rescue.
And you're angry enough to take me down.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. It's so much fun. But yeah, I mean, comic books are big money. And now, like I said, now with the franchises, along with the movies that we're not going to talk about.
Not going to talk about them, not now.
Even bigger.
Right.
And crossing the other way, you know, things that are started off as video games have crossed into the comic book genre.
That makes sense.
Like there are Mass Effect comic books, Assassin's Creed comic books, and you name it.
That's happened for years. They've made like TV shows and stuff into comic books and
vice versa.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So
absolutely, it all feeds into each other.
Yes, and that is all the present and future of comic books, which we will get to in our second half.
Right on.
So right now we're gonna take a little break. Okay. I'm gonna finish my beer.
Sounds good.
Maybe relax a little bit. But I'm gonna have a couple songs for you guys.
What do you got for the peoples?
First up, it's a song called "Secret Wars" by hip hop artist The Last Emperor. It's a song about MCs going up against comic book characters. they're battling. It's awesome. It's really good.
Nice.
And then my second song is a song off the Spawn soundtrack. It's a great comic book, horrible movie.
Terrible movie.
Which we're not going to talk about.
Not talking about movies.
But also a fantastic soundtrack. It mixes a lot of metal and...
That was all like metal and DJs, right?
Or electronic and electronic. Because like, the song that I chose is Soul Coughing and Ronnie Size.
All right.
So... Kind of strange. The name of the song is what? A plane scraped its belly on a sooty yellow moon.
Nice.
Good music. Hope you guys enjoy. We'll be back in a minute.
Dig this and dig it deep.
What if I had the power to gather all of my favorite MCs with the illest comic book characters and they became arch enemies? Inconceivable, unbelievable, yet as wild as it seems, the Emperor and Stan Lee will coach the two opposing teams. Keep it clean, no bats, no yats, guns or interference. Comic book characters will go head up with raw lyrics. Now I take whoever might be on break from doing tours and have them sign up for the Last Emperor Secret War. Sure, for that kind of capacity, we need a crazy large arena that might stretch from West Philadelphia to East Medina. If I'm able, I'd put it on pay-per-view through my label and give free tickets to my neighborhood bums with no cable. Yeah, that sounds fat. Now that we've squared away the propositions, let's begin with the ultimate tough man competition. Set it off, it's the fight of the century. KRS and Professor X will battle each other mentally with rhymes. These two team captains waste no time. Charles Xavier tried to invade Chris Parker's mind. He shot a cerebral probe at Chris's mind, but he missed it. Professor X taken out by the Blastmaster's metaphysics. Round two, new fight, word of life, you gotta see this. Locked in Mortal Kombat, it's Dr. Strange and the genius. Yeah, son, he's no match, let that graphic wizard have it. My liquid sword slashes straight to Dr. Strange's magic. Another hero down, and now the score is 2-0. My words from the genius, and he's still my ramen hero. Now the next fight was conducted in a rough-like manner, specifically between Reggie Noble and Dr. David Banner. Or should I say the Incredible Hulk when he's amped off the gamma? Will Reggie Noble soon be became the incredible Red Man and slammed him. You know how Red Man gets when his adrenaline starts pumping. Started skitzing in the ring, so then the Thing tried to jump in. Then Grimm leaps into the ring, and after Red Man, he lunges. But Reggie Noble dropped him with two bricks and he punches. Rhymes by the bunches, bums get dirty in the Middle Eastern dungeons. Ready to set this like Detective Columbo with his hunches. While the refs clean out the ring, cause the last fight was so intense. Let's do a live interview with a brother named Common Sense.
Yeah, it's Common Sense. A nice man tried to freeze me, so I took him to Chicago and told him to take it easy. He couldn't see me with my Apple Jack hat and high tops. Colossus and Cyclops, I got no idea why not. Look at Common Sense, yo, that last album was tight. Let me get back to the ring and evaluate the next fight. Now, the next fight had to be the craziest of all times. We got Dr. Octopus
versus the Mighty Buster Rhyme.
Doc Ox versus Buster? Man, that stuff is dead. He'll get his eight arms ripped off going up against the Dread.
Ha ha, now Dr. Octopus, who you think you grabbing? The guard could never lose, so you know it will never happen. Lyrically making me sleepy, you'll need a nap when I slap you with my breath. Lights out, you'll kiss the cat.
Before my eyes, I see the demise of another superhero. Next up is Roscos versus Magneto. Now anything goes with Magneto battles foes. But Roscos had him shivering, delivering ultramagnetic blows. Magneto is now deceased and a wise man said it best. The sun rises in the east, but they can still set it in the west. And with all these heroes down, Stan Lee refuses to surrender. He got stormed from the X-Men as if I couldn't match the gender. Stan Lee shouts,
Excelsior.
Yo, Stan, you best to chill.
There's no match for Storm.
I guess he's never heard of Lauryn Hill. Now we all know Storm controls the temperature and weather. Started running off at the lip and Elwood was like,
whatever.
She just got home from tour, she's a bit too tired to spar. So she clocked Storm over the head with my man Wyclef's guitar. All silence is ceased, out of nowhere comes the Beast. Versus J-Ru, the Damager, the Black Prophet from the East. Releasing rhymes that will pound you into the ground. There'll be no round two. Another victory for hip-hop by the Dirty Rotten Scoundrel. Now the underground sewer system that lies deep below the ring is where the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Nasa Flex do their thing. Leonardo and Donatello, they well know that we can do this.
So kick it, the crazy, hit them both with roars. So it.
Now Raphael and Michelangelo, those two others who are brothers. Book smacked them with the Dos Effects logo, the manhole cover. Whether you're plant or animal, vegetable or making the mineral, before you step to Dos Effects, you best be hard like a criminal. Taking you back to ringside just when you thought it was over. The last battle was brought forth by G.I. Joe and Cobra. Mercenaries and soldiers, G.I. Joe was rolling thick. But I'll get the military of hip-hop, a.k.a. the boot camp click. World War III for 98 in the wake of all these troops. I could see General Buckshot going toe-to-toe with Duke. Salute the captain for rapping, cause now we know who's hard. Catching rap like stealing tech up against the Crimson Guard. Charging after you, smashing you. Metaphorically bashing through the entire Joe team is OGC and Ruck the Irrational. Then all of a sudden I hear this real loud crack.
The military punisher, Big Rock, just broke roadblocks back.
An insult to injury to Stan Lee and his team. We've got Weapon X from Canada, a.k.a. Wolverine. You know the routine, his claws can rip rappers for days.
But here comes the Method Man,
a.k.a. Johnny Blaze.
Wolverine, you can't hang when T'Challa doesn't stank. Paralyze you with the venom from the Method Man's fang.
This is the final battle as the stratosphere gets darker. We got Nasir Jones versus Peter Parker. Nasty Nas, the halftime headbringer versus the web-slinger. Illmatic versus Radioactive in the Rotten Apple with the Deadlinger. He cursed the day that Spider ever bit him. Gave him a copy of the second LP it was written. For all up and coming MCs, I've got a question. If I made a Secret Wars Part 2, would your name even be mentioned? Would you make the final cut? I make the nicest give their titles up. Writing rhymes slash fighting crimes like the Blue Falcon and Dino Mutt. Stick around for the next battle slash adventure. And if you see Stan Lee, tell him the last Emperor sent ya.
Down. Here I come down, further inside. It's in all directions at one. Universal sound. Match to the finished. The quickness. Incorporate.
Down.
The wrong. Power. Machine. machine.
And welcome back to the second half. Welcome back to the second half. I did it this time. Welcome back to Dr. Drew's Two Cents. This is the second half. I hope you enjoyed the musical interlude. Yeah, so we're back. So we're just going to get right back into the conversation.
All right.
You know, it's the year, what, like 2007 or so, maybe 2008. And Drew realizes that, oh my God, I love comic books, and I haven't read one in forever.
You left them behind.
Yeah, kind of. And then I don't know how it came about, but you know, I kind of got back into comic books.
All right.
Yeah. So.
Like what?
Mostly graphic novels. Like I said before, before the break, we mentioned that I had stopped reading regular monthly series and gotten into more of the graphic novels. You know, things that are condensed that I can read in a bunch. You know. Granted, it may take a couple months for you to package them all together, but whatever, I can wait, I'm lazy. So I started getting into the graphic novels more.
All right.
Chris, graphic novels. Yes, graphic novels. No, maybe so.
I love them.
Good stuff.
I'm down with them. I'm down with graphic novels. I think a graphic novel is just like reading a book. I love to read. It's like reading a book with pictures. People read books with pictures, but I say, you know, stop being so condescending.
Seriously, you should read some of these stories.
There's some amazing, amazing stories. And I've talked to people who are college professors who have talked about using graphic novels as reading material for
course
their
material.
Classes.
Yeah.
It's course material. And I've talked to a high school teacher who was trying to convince her high school to let her use some graphic novels for course material because it's great stuff in there.
Oh, it is.
So,
it's
yeah,
fantastic.
I'm totally down with the graphic novel. I've read, now obviously, you know, you're the comic book guy. I've read a small amount of, I've read a couple.
I know you've hit a lot of the benchmarks.
I tried to hit the big ones. I think it really started with, in the 90s, going back to the 90s. First time I really read a, quote, graphic novel. It really wasn't a graphic novel. It was just a collection of... Yeah. Like a couple years worth because how long did the whole return of Superman thing take? When Superman
good
died,
Lord. Dude, that was like that was probably like a year's worth of comic books.
But it was like four different books though because it came up with four different Spider-Man.
Superman.
Superman.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What?
Superman.
They had the Superboy.
It was a clone.
Who was a clone?
It was a teenage clone.
They had Steel.
John Steel, who was the black guy who Superman saved during the Doomsday fight.
Exactly. Yep. And
so he put on the whole Steel outfit.
Yeah. Yeah. There was the son of Krypton.
He was the Kryptonian failsafe that was in like underground the Fortress of Solitude. And in case something happened to Kal-El, he had to be activated to help like bring him back or whatever. But he like his programming got screwed up and he thought he was Superman. It was ridiculous. It made no sense. But I remember that one.
And then what was the
What was the fourth one? Drew.
Was it Super? It wasn't Supergirl.
No, because that was just an alien that was assuming.
Yeah.
At that time, it was just an alien assuming Supergirl.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
She was chilling with Lex Luthor.
Yeah, I know.
Who was it,
oh,
Drew?
Oh, man.
Black guy. Young clone. Son of Krypton. And
The cyborg.
Half cyborg. I was just about to scream it out to you. Half
cyborg.
Yeah. Who he ended up being another character. Some other villain from a whole other story. And he just knew about Superman being dead, so he he was already merged with a computer, so he decided to take the form of Superman to trick people so he could destroy... What did he destroy? Destroyed like the fake L.A., the Green Hornet version of L.A.?
Weird.
What a weird fight. And then Superman himself came back with a sweet mullet.
Oh, yeah, he did.
He destroyed everyone. Well, he destroyed that one guy.
Yeah.
So I read that.
Destroyed almost all of them.
So I read that. I read...
Oh man! Oh.
I read that whole thing, and that so that qualifies as a graphic novel. And someone gave me—I remember in high school, and I literally just remember this now. Kingdom Come, wasn't that like a huge story?
It sounds familiar, but I think it's DC.
It is a DC story. And it's a huge DC story. And I remember reading it, and it blew me away. It was so good.
Yeah,
it was so good. And I wish now it makes me now want to reread it to just see if was it as good or was I just being like, yeah, I'm in high school.
Yeah,
I don't know shit anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, man,
but that was awesome. And then I got older. And I was like, "What's this? Watchmen? What's this?
Watchmen. That is a classic.
It's an '80s.
Yeah,
it was a mini series because it only lasted for 1 year.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and since the movie came out, they've done
they
brought it back. The prequels.
Alan Moore is like, fuck you guys. Yeah. And Dave Gibbons is like, I got a mortgage. My kid's in college.
Well, dude, Alan Moore is a crazy English wizard, okay?
And a certified, 100% certified by the government, by the British government, certified cranky old fuck.
Yes, he is. Yeah. So, whatever. But yeah, no, Watchmen. That is one of the crowning achievements.
Seminal.
Around the same time, V for Vendetta.
V for Vendetta. Didn't they like they? Alan Moore like started V for Vendetta, and did like half of it, like half a run, and then didn't they do Watchmen? And then he went back and finished V. Isn't there like a big gap in there in the making of it, something like that?
Pretty sure. Once again, DC not so good in the DC unless it's Frank Miller.
Yeah. True. Well, I mean, again, this is all stuff that I came to in the last 10 years.
Exactly.
You know, even though it was all originally done in the 80s.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a lot of the stuff that I've been reading has been, you know, older comic books that I just wasn't aware of, probably because of my age.
Yeah, it wasn't geared towards you. You wouldn't have understood it.
Well, exactly. Yeah. I probably would have understood it, but not the finer points.
You would have got the overall, the broad strokes.
Yeah,
but you'd be like, I don't understand this.
Exactly.
At the end of it, you'd be like, yeah, this kind of sucks.
Yeah, no, and I'm the same way. Like I've been reading a lot of Transmetropolitan.
You told me about that. Yes.
It's basically imagine a future, right?
I'm imagining the future.
All right, imagine in a future
in a world.
So it's the future where you know, just imagine. Things progressing as they are now, and then them just going, you know, gene splicing works. There are people walking around that are half dog and half cheetah and whatever, and people do it.
Uh-huh.
You know, people fucking on the streets, everybody doing drugs and smoking cigarettes, but it's okay because there are anti-cancer pills and, you know, anti-liver destroying pills. So you can drink as much as you want. It makes no difference because you'll be well.
Right on.
Sounds cool. What is his name? Is it Spider Jerusalem?
Spider Jerusalem.
Spider Jerusalem. Just it's Hunter S. Thompson. Spider Jerusalem is Hunter S. Thompson.
And what's it called?
Transmetropolitan.
Transmetropolitan.
Giant cities, terrible things. But it's you are going around with Hunter S. Thompson in the future.
In a crazy future.
And he is raising hell and doing everything that Hunter S. Thompson does best. And it is absolutely fantastic.
So is that still being produced now?
No,
or is that old?
Way old. This was it's done by Warren Ellis, Derek Robertson, Rodney Ramos. It's Vertigo. I got volume 3 here. It's copyrighted 1999.
Okay.
So pretty much when I stopped reading comic books, this was being made.
Man.
And
now you're getting back to it.
No, getting back into it.
Right.
Exactly.
On. Right.
Transmetropolitan, dude. Really good stuff.
That's a cool one.
Also, you know, when I got back into comic books, you know, obviously I got into my Marvel stuff. You know, I picked up the old Dark Phoenix saga, picked it up, reread it.
Mm.
You know, classic story, fantastic. They fucked it up in the movie. Don't want to talk about movies.
We're not talking about movies!
lately, Marvel got into with their... You know, more adult themed stuff. They got into the origins of some of these characters.
Okay.
And they did a series called Wolverine Origin, obviously, where I have it in graphic novel form. But it's the origin of Wolverine, where he came from.
Right.
Did you know that Wolverine came from the Deep South in slave times? That's when he was born. He survived the Civil War. He fought in the Civil War.
We're not talking about movies, but
no.
I kind of know that goes in the movie.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Because
that's in the opening credits. They show it starts with him really young, and it's like antebellum South. They don't really point out that it's slavery.
It's pre-Civil War.
Yeah, but it is pre-Civil War.
Yeah.
And then he fights, and then some montage of him with Sabretooth fighting through time.
Yeah, no, and that came up with the. With the Wolverine Origins series.
So this came up in that
series.
Which was how many issues? Man, that was it 12, 24? How long
did
it last?
It was a standalone, you know, miniseries type deal.
So it just cranked out 6 or 7.
Exactly. Knows,
whatever they needed to tell the story.
Yeah.
Okay. Right on.
Exactly. But it explained Wolverine's bone claws. Because for the longest time.
Bone claws.
You know, up until, you know, the mid-90s when, you know, that whole thing with Magneto. Do you remember the foil covers?
Do you mean Dr. Magnets?
Yes, Dr. Magnets.
All right.
Do you remember they all had the hologram covers? Like each issue had, it was
thick
covered and it looked like a hologram card.
Because they were trying to get you to buy it. I had Amazing Spider-Man number 350. It had the hologram cover and it was the final, it was billed as the final conversation. Between Spider-Man and Venom, whether they upheld that promise. Yeah,
I think that.
It's like a wrestler retiring.
Yeah. Exactly.
Ric Flair retired 20 times in the last 2 years.
Yeah, but those foil covers, and that's when Magneto took Wolverine's adamantium out, and you saw he had bone claws.
Yeah, it's like bone claws the whole time.
Wait a minute, it wasn't all just implanted. Because for the longest time, you just thought they were implanted.
Yeah, right. Because he forgot about that. Because he had the whole memory thing.
Yeah, the whole Weapon X thing.
How? Comic books.
Yeah, but that was really good. And also, they did a four issue miniseries. I actually bought this in monthly form. Because I was going to the comic book shops to pick up my graphic novels at the time.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, listen, I've been checking what you're reading. I think you'd enjoy this. And he's like, it's a monthly series. You know, after, you know, in like a year, they'll have it in graphic novel form. And it's just called Logan. And it's about Wolverine. And they actually freaking steal it in the beginning of the new Wolverine movie.
Uh-huh.
If you've seen, you remember that intro.
In the World War II.
Hiroshima.
When he's a POW.
Yeah, dude. I mean, in the movie, it shows him he's ducked down inside a thing and protecting some dude. In the comic book, he's literally just like walking around and then he looks up and there's the bomb.
The bomb drops right on top of him.
Yeah. It literally drops, pretty much ground zero.
Nice.
For a nuke. And he survived. I think the line is... you know, he was born, you know, how he said, I was born centuries ago, but that day he was made a man.
that's very funny. It took an atomic bomb for that to happen.
Yeah, well, dude, imagine if you got an atomic bomb dropped on you.
And then you survive it.
And you survive it.
I guess at that point you've seen it all. It's like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
What are you going to do to me?
Rough, dude. Yeah. Rough. And also, they did the same thing for the Punisher.
They gave
it's called Punisher... Born.
Oh, isn't that a war, like all tied to a war thing or whatever him?
It's all tied to Vietnam.
He's just, the whole thing, he's just a PTSD guy.
Well, I mean, kind of. He's kind of PTSD. He makes a deal with, I'm not sure if it's himself or if it's, you know, with some sort of higher power or what. Mm-hmm. But he makes a deal because at the end he comes home and, you know, he's obviously wounded from, oh man.
He's wounded from being in war.
Well, yeah, wounded from being in war. And the last thing, it just shows a picture of his wife and children in the Punisher skull and in little black letters, which is the voice in his head or whatever, whoever he's communicating with, whether it be himself or whatever, it says, you remember I mentioned that there'd be a price.
It's random, he's going to die.
Well, at a certain point in time during the war,
he made it some sort of
deal. He makes a deal.
To get out of the war, to live.
To survive.
But then his family dies when he gets home.
Although there's going to be a price to pay.
And that's
the
why
voice said there would be a price.
That's why it becomes the Punisher.
Well, exactly. But I mean, look. I mean, I just want to show you this one.
Which one? The very last
just
one?
Just the one page. Yeah.
Let me see. So it's. I'm looking at. I'm assuming this is Frank Castle.
Yes, sir.
He looks like a zombie. First of all, like his face, he does not look healthy. Red eyes, I believe. He's covered in blood, head to toe. And there, 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't know. 100 dead Vietnamese men around him.
And what's in his hand?
He's holding a gun, but he's holding it backwards because it appears he beat all those Vietnamese men to death with the butt of the gun, which is dripping with blood. Oh, and there's fire and smoke in the background, and the smoke that makes the Punisher skull. So that's what I'm looking at, people, and I'm going to go to bed after this. So this is going to fill my nightmares.
That is when Punisher was born. That is it. That is the seminal moment in Frank Castle's life.
All right.
Where the Punisher was born.
He seriously looks like a red-eyed zombie.
I know. It's awesome, isn't it?
He does look ridiculous there.
It's fantastic.
Wow.
Yeah, so, you know, and stuff like that, my interest.
Right,
Makes me want to read more.
Absolutely.
More and more.
If it's good like that.
Oh, exactly. So then I found myself, you know, I was always, love me some G.I. Joe.
True American Hero.
Love me some Transformers.
More than meets the eye.
Now imagine if you took Transformers.
Uh-huh. More than meets the eye.
And G.I. Joe.
True American Hero.
Put them together.
Mortar meets the hero.
and set it in World War II.
Oh, I've seen this. Yeah, I've seen this thing.
It's the G.I. Joe Transformers. There's only one volume. It's called Transformers G.I. Joe. It's made by Dreamwave. I found this. I just kind of picked it up at the comic book shop.
Mm-hmm.
I've yet to see it again, ever, anywhere else. It's...
Just look online, see.
It's hard to... I think it's kind of hard to find.
Nice.
I mean, it's got the little Hasbro logo on the back, too. Transformers.com.
And because it's like World War II Transformers, is that the one where when they change... it's all like ropes and pulleys and stuff.
Yeah, ropes, pulleys, all the old tanks.
It's like super analog Transformers.
Yeah, it is. Cobra is kind of like the Nazis.
Perfect.
Of sorts.
Makes sense.
So obviously the Decepticons are working with Cobra.
Makes sense.
Transformers are working with the Joes.
Allied forces.
But, oh man, there's one part in this because, it does everything. You know, it runs the gamut. If you know about the G.I. Joe lore,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, it does it all. It's got...
It touches all the all the bases.
But most importantly, the Snake Eyes and... Oh, what's the other dude's name?
Destro.
No... The White Ninja, his brother,
the White Ninja, Shadow White
something. Oh, I forget it. I cannot
Shadow name. Dickbag.
And they say it a bunch. I'm sure. I can't think of it right now. Anyway. Wow, that's really bad. But you know they do the whole fight thing. You know, they fight.
Uh-huh.
Snake Eyes is born.
Right. Storm Shadow.
Storm Shadow. That's it. So Snake Eyes is born. And he gets, you know, the reason why he wears his mask is because, at least in this alternate history or whatever, he gets in the fight with Storm Shadow. Storm Shadow leaves because he's, you know, a weak pussy bitch.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, Snake Eyes has to persevere on. So he finds himself, you know, that night mask, you know, pulls it off, a soldier statue, you know, in the rubble of World War II, Berlin or whatever, throws that on. But before then, he's running. Blood's dripping from his face.
Blood.
The line is, there are only two things that stop blood. Time and fire. And I don't have any time.
Oh.
And the panels show him grab three bullets, put them in between his knuckles, knock off the top, pour the gunpowder in his face and light it ablaze.
Nice.
All while running full steam. Then he grabs a helmet and just puts it on and just keeps on trucking. And at that point, I mean, I always knew Snake Eyes was a badass. But good lord.
That's pretty intense.
Is Snake Eyes a badass?
Kids are reading this stuff, man.
No, exactly. And this was, man, I don't even know if I got to this in time or if I read this late. This is 2004. So yeah, I read this late.
But even in 2004, it's not that old.
Yeah.
Not that old.
Almost a decade.
It's not like we're talking about stumbling across Watchmen.
No.
Two decades later. Which is me.
Yeah.
Which is me. But
exactly.
Now I can tell you everything about it if you want to.
Yeah.
What else you got over there?
Also, I started, I found this tiny little comic book about some zombies by Image. I think it's called The Walking Dead.
I think I might have heard something somewhere.
Might have heard of this.
Maybe.
Yeah. No, I started, I mean, this is 2005 is when it, you know, originated in comic books.
Yeah.
So even now, it's almost, we're pushing 8 years now. You know, this is old material that people are treading on nowadays in these TV series.
And they're still going, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. No, there are current issues you can pick up right now monthly.
Still cranking them out.
Yeah. But, I mean, I liked zombies. People told me, you know, this guy, Robert Kirkman,
it was 2005. Zombies were still, they weren't played out. I think they're totally played out.
Yeah.
But then they were, like, fresh.
Well, no, I didn't even get into it until, like, 2007, maybe 2008.
I want to say more like 2006.
Really?
Yes, because I remember. Because I remember you introducing me to the walk. Check out
and
this
just
comic
being
book,
like, dude, you need to read
like,
this.
Check out this all black and white, sweet-ass comic book about zombies that's supposed to be never ending. I was like, well, fuck yeah. And I think at that point they're up to volume 3.
Okay, so I was only like a year behind at the time. Yeah. Awesome. I feel better about myself.
Yeah, because remember the episode volume 3, and like we read through, I'm like, oh, this is awesome, and then we had to wait for 4. And then I started reading 4. For some reason, I never got through 4, and then I stopped reading them.
Yeah, yeah. I have up to 8.
You have up to 8.
So I have up to the point.
But you're not current on them, though.
Well, no. I got up to 8, and then it, because I didn't, I'm not a monthly guy. Right. So
you gotta wait for them. But if you're up to, well, then that means, I think they're up to like,
There's like 20 of them or so.
Oh, shit. You got some work to do.
Exactly. But. I've got, and they're only $10 a piece. I should pick a couple up.
They are good reads. Absolutely.
But it's, I mean, if you're a fan of the TV show at all, screw you, you're a retard.
Hey.
Seriously, you have, because the comic book is infinitely better.
Yeah, but a lot of people don't got time to be reading comic
if you
books.
Have if you are a fan of
people
The Walking
ain't got
Dead
be time to
I highly
it, Drew.
I highly recommend that you read the comic book series. You not, should not even I instead I mean I read
and they're quite different.
They are quite different,
even though they hit a lot of the same big story beats, like prison, governor, which I've noticed.
Yes.
They're quite different.
Quite different.
Different characters are dying at different times. The TV show introduced a whole lot of new characters.
Exactly.
So, I mean, buy the first volume, put it by your shitter.
Oh, man. It's so amazing. I mean, up to volume 8 is when they get out of the prison. So I don't even know. I don't know where the TV series is at now.
Holy guacamole, really? I think they're still by the prison.
But volume 8, they get out.
It takes that long for them to get out of the prison?
They leave the prison. Holy shit. But, I mean, spoiler alert. Everybody knows in the TV series, Lori dies.
What?
So
Who's that one again?
That the wife.
Oh, yeah.
In the comic book series, that doesn't happen until volume 8.
Oh,
and literally,
shit.
They're leaving the prison, and she dies on the way out.
I know Shane dies at the end of Volume 1 at the hands of Carl. But in the TV show, he doesn't die to Season 3 at the hands of Rick. Totally different.
Yep.
Totally different. So, people, it's worth it if you haven't read them.
No, yeah, it's totally... It's one of the most highly... If I recommend any comic book at all that I've been talking about, this is the one.
Oh, there
you
go. You
need to be reading this. Screw the TV series. It is no good.
It's not... I mean...
Seriously, compared to this, it is garbage compared to this.
I don't think the pilot of Walking Dead, the Walking Dead pilot, Frank Darabont, the hour and a half Walking Dead pilot, is still the best episode that they've
made. Yeah. So. Well, it's because it was the most true to the comic book.
It was the closest to the comic book.
That's why.
That's true.
Source material. The closer you are to the source material. Around the same time, I was just kind of, you know, picking around. You know, just kind of doing my thing. Found this one on my own, actually.
What you got?
But it's quite intriguing. It's called Scalped. It's about...
Let me guess. Native Indians.
Yes. Okay, tell me what time period.
The year 3026.
No, it's pretty much... It's
future
pretty,
Indians.
No, it's nowadays. So,
okay.
Indians, casinos. Casinos, big stuff. So, okay. It's basically... it's an Indian detective story.
Interesting.
And it all revolves around the casino.
I like
and
that.
The dirty nastiness underneath. And
so is it kind of like film noirish, like hard-boiled detective type of thing?
Oh yeah, totally. And it's, you know, it's the classic story, a guy who left Indian country because he didn't want to be a native tribesman.
The classic Indian leaving the tribe story.
The guy who goes away, who leaves home, goes, you know, gets schooled in the ways of the world, and then has to come back.
We call that Rumspringa.
So, and he comes back as a detective, and now he has to solve all sorts of crimes, including his mother's murder.
That's actually pretty cool. What do you have there? Is that a one-off, or is that part of a whole series?
It's a running series. I have the first 3.
Okay.
It started in 2007. I don't know if it's still going strong or not.
Interesting. Scalped.
But it's called Scalped, and it's a really good read. I can't wait to get some more.
That sounds pretty cool. I actually might want to pick that one up because I'm really into like detective novels and like old school type things like that.
Oh, yeah, dude. You should totally give it a read.
Yeah, transmutating the setting like that and the characters and the culture sounds really, really interesting.
It's really good. I highly recommend it.
Cool.
Awesome. And then also, now I'm not going to lie. I didn't. Most of the time, I like to be the guy who, oh, I've totally read the comic book first. Like, oh, V for Vendetta is a movie. The comic book's awesome.
Read that shit first, yeah.
No, exactly. Watchmen's gonna be a movie. Finally, I've been waiting for how long? But there was little. I'm not talking about movies. There's a little movie called The Fountain. Darren Aronofsky.
Yep.
You're obviously you are obviously familiar with the production woes of said movie.
Absolutely.
And whatever. We'll talk about it.
Well, pretty much in a nutshell, what happened was Darren Aronofsky was trying to make The Fountain, which was going to be a very weird, arty, experimental, and somewhat expensive movie at around like $60 million. Universal was backing it. Brad Pitt was going to star in it with Kate Blanchett, but Brad Pitt backed out at the last minute. The whole production fell apart. The money got yanked. And Darren Aronofsky, for a while there, had a story, but no movie. So he had to get it out there somehow.
So, exactly. So, because he couldn't get his movie made, he decided to team up with a very good oil painter by the name of Kent Williams.
He's not even a traditional comic book guy.
No, he's a painter.
He went with
and
a,
he,
all
of the
an oil
and,
painter.
And seriously looking. Have you ever taken a look?
Yeah,
at this?
I have. Yeah, it's been a while since I flipped through it,
but still, I mean, you can tell that some of these cells here they're painted with pretty incredible detail.
Yeah,
it is very artistic. But he put it out in comic book form in a graphic novel called The Fountain, a graphic novel from the director of Pie and Requiem from a Dream.
And now it would say if they put that out again, if they re-release the Fountain comic book, it would say from the director of Black Swan and what did he do before? The Wrestler.
Yeah, but
and
now
the upcoming Noah.
I mean, it does say now Imagine Motion Picture on it, which I don't like. But
I hate when books do that.
But at least it does say from the director of Pie and Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah, that's cool.
Because those
are the movies that were out at that time.
Exactly.
And then they did eventually, he did make The Fountain. But because of various things, including other movies coming out that had similar themes and budget cuts, he had to change the story a little bit. So there's things in that graphic novel.
That are different.
That is different. And the ending is very interesting, where it's more ambiguous and weirdly, it's like almost inverted from the movie. It's
yeah,
cool.
It is.
It's cool.
It is. I really do. But once again, they both hit the same major points
yeah.
for the most part.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
The overall everything is still the same.
Absolutely. The themes are still there.
Yeah.
Right on. That's a good one.
So, yeah, and that's a little taste of what I've been into lately.
Those have been your graphic novels lately?
Yeah, those have been mine of choice.
Cool.
Anything, have you read anything? What did you get into?
Lately, I've been reading any graphic novels lately.
Not even lately, but I'm talking like in the last 5 years.
What
kind of graphic
see.
Novels have you been reading?
I would have to go back maybe even 7 or 8 years outside of Watchmen, V for Vendetta, which are, you know, the benchmark, so I had to read those. We're not talking about movies, but because of the movie, I got and read the graphic novel for A History of Violence.
Nice.
Which is that, now that was made to be a graphic novel.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a monthly serial, no. It's just one book, and it's all black and white, and actually the dialogue, and what do you call it, when it's not dialogue, but there are words in there. You know what I'm talking about. It's very minimal in terms of written stuff,
mm-hmm.
but it's very, very interesting. Different from the movie, too, so that makes it cool. Graphic novel-wise, no, I mean, yeah, I haven't been reading too much.
I mean, I know you've got some of those Batman graphic novels up on your...
Well, what I got, what I got, not I have, I still have...
Because I read your copies.
Yeah, I still have... Well, I do have my comic books here. I can break out what I have here.
Yeah, go ahead. Break them out. What do you got here, Chris?
What I got here? Well, I have a couple. I guess what maybe you're referring to, I do have this Punisher-Batman crossover that's like...
Which Batman is it? When was it around?
Aha!
Because there have been many Batman.
Aha! This was right around when the whole Batman breaking his back thing, right?
So, don't tell me it's Azrael.
There's two books. There's
I hated Azrael.
There's the new Batman with Azrael.
Lame.
With Punisher.
Lame Azrael.
And that takes place in because Punisher's in New York City, right?
Yeah.
So that takes place in New York City, I think. And then Punisher goes to Gotham,
which is New York City.
And then Azrael had already, he's gone, and Bruce Wayne, miraculous healing, he's back to being Batman, so it's old school Batman. And Punisher even makes the thing like, oh, you're back to the old look, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
It's
Azrael was lame.
Yeah, I didn't like the whole Ezreal thing. Yeah. No, the Nightfall thing was cool.
Well, yeah,
the whole Nightfall story, and I did like how the Nightfall leading up to, because that I read in graphic novel form. I don't have it, but I read that one where it leads up to Ezreal taking on the mantle, taking on Bane, and then shocking Bane. It's like, who the fuck is this guy? And then he kicks his ass, and that works as its own story. But then continuing Batman, as no one wants to see that shit. We want to see Bruce Wayne.
Yeah,
man.
Nobody cares about Ezreal. Yeah.
So this Punisher versus Batman thing, which is it's got to be mid to late 90s. It's pretty awesome. And it has a Joker in there, and he's badass. And Jigsaw's in both of them, and he looks totally different in both of them because they're by different artists.
Yeah, I love the crossovers when people from different universes get together.
Yeah, DC
and Marvel.
DC, Marvel. Yeah, absolutely. That's why. See, I'm the guy that, like, I don't give a shit, DC, Marvel. I'm just like.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've got a whole book. It's called The Crossover Classics, where it's, what is it? It's Spider-Man, Superman, Batman, and somebody, and I think it's like the Avengers and the Teen Titans.
Teen Titans?
Or the Justice League.
No one cares about the Teen Titans. Don't be pretending like you care about the Teen Titans.
No, don't care at all. Like I said, not a big DC guy.
But speaking of crossovers,
yes,
I do have, and this is from Dark Horse.
Dark Horse.
Apparently I have a Dark Horse comic
nice.
Here. $2.50 when it came out.
Uh-huh.
And this is issue 2 of 4. I've never read 1, 3, or 4.
Oh, I hate that. I hate when you're missing the 1 or the 3 issues.
By Frank Miller, RoboCop versus the Terminator.
Ooh.
Pretty badass.
That's awesome. Frank Miller's awesome.
Frank Miller's awesome. And this is when he was at his most awesome.
Yeah.
In the 80s and 90s is when and he was I've, really oh, cranking man. It out.
Speaking of Frank Miller, always meant to get into Sin City. Was told.
Oh yeah, Sin City's awesome.
Really
right?
good,
right?
But never. I've just never gotten around to it.
There's so many of them.
Many.
Where do you start?
Oh, I don't even know where to begin.
Where do you start? Look at that final image for RoboCop versus Terminator, where after RoboCop fights 3 random Terminators from the future.
Well, it's I'm looking at RoboCop. He's looks like he's walking out of some rubble. He's pretty banged up, scarred. I'm getting there. I'm just saying he's got shrapnel marks and everything's all frayed, and then he's missing his left arm. Just it's not there anymore.
Not there.
It's gone. Luckily, not much damage to his face, which is awesome. He's got a very grim look on his face. Black, no red on the visor. It's black. And he is holding it would be blood if they had. Oh no, those are his fingers.
Yeah,
he's holding the skull of a Terminator in his hands, like victorious. And the last little bubble at the end.
What does it say?
There is the smell of victory. Hang on. Hard choices, but for this one moment. Carried on air thick with oil and smoke and sweat and blood. There is the smell of victory.
Nice. Very Frank Miller.
That's very Frank Miller.
Very Frank Miller. Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's all about they try to do the whole, well, he's RoboCop. Is he going to fight with humans or the Terminators, man?
Yeah.
But, we all know he's going to be human.
Speaking of really weird little comics, did you ever read Gru?
No.
Sergio Aragonés's Gru.
How do you spell that?
A-R-A-G-O-N-E-S.
That's how you spell Gru?
No, Aragonés. Oh, Gru is G-R-O-O. G-R-O-O. You read Mad Magazine back in the day?
Yeah.
You know the little illustrations in between all the little cells?
Yeah.
Sergio Aragonés.
Okay.
But he had a monthly series. It's called Gru, and he is a barbarian, and wherever he goes, terrible things happen to everybody else.
Nice.
And to him, but he always miraculously just walks out unscathed. But like, I mean, if Gru gets on a ship, at some point in time, the ship will sink. Either the second he gets on it, it sinks, or halfway through the voyage, it sinks. Or I saw in one, he walked off,
uh-huh.
And as he was walking down thinking to himself, that ship didn't sink. It sunk in the background. He's a barbarian with really funny mishaps and literally chronic bad luck, and to the point where it's almost like a superpower.
Gru.
Gru. The, Groot the Adventurer, I think.
Groot the Adventurer, G-R-O-O.
G-R-O-O. It's a really fun read.
Interesting.
It's funny stuff.
All right.
That actually sounds really good.
Yeah, yeah. And then did you ever get like to the What If comics?
The What If? Where we were talking about, I just had that one What If.
No. Not What If. What The.
Oh, no.
It was a parody of Marvel Comics.
Oh, really?
With Peter Porker as Spider-Ham. And it was Spider-Man, but he was a pig.
They thought long and hard about that one.
Peter Porker, Spider-Man. They had the Punfisher. He was just the Punisher as a fish.
Okay.
You know, things of that nature. Just keep going on with your silly imagination. That's the kind of stuff that was in it.
I did have one issue, and it may have been issue number one. It might have been. I did have one issue of, it was a Canadian comic book that got in my hands through a friend, right, when I was really young. And it was Lethargic Comics.
Okay.
And it was kind of anthology, so mm-hmm. It was a bunch of different ones. And always that Lethargic Lad was like the main superhero, but he was really lazy, I don't know. But they did have a Punisher parody in there called Guy with a Lot of Guns.
Nice.
And that was, he was a guy and a lot of guns. And he had just guns everywhere. And he had a smiley face on his chest.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if that was maybe like a Watchmen type thing with a smiley face. But he was just a guy with a lot of guns. And that's really hard.
That's awesome.
But I did also, from that time period, and I think at these, those boxes, the brown boxes.
Yeah.
What they had in there, one of the things that they did have in there, and I bet you've never heard of this comic book company, Drew.
Okay.
Spire?
No.
S-P-I-R-E?
Nope.
Spire Christian Comics. Spire Christian Comics put out... This one's from the... Goodness gracious. I think this is from like the 70s. This is from 76.
Is it like Spider-Man and Jesus?
No, not even close to that. Back in the 70s, they put out a whole shit ton of comics. Their main thing was they did have a lot of Archie comics. But it was like they played down a lot of the Veronica and Betty stuff. And it was more like be cool to each other. You know, as the coolest of the most Christian friendly of the Archie comics. I'm obviously made specifically for this company, right? But then they had a whole bunch of other things that I had copies of them. Oh, I don't have them anymore. Like there's this one called Crossfire where it was about, I think it was must have been based on a true story about some dude who was a cop and like he got shot on the job and he was paralyzed, but then like a bunch of church people came out and supported him. I don't know. It was all Christian type stuff, right? The one comic that I still have from all those things, and this comic from 1976 costs 49 cents, my friend.
Nice.
This comic is called Hello, I'm Johnny Cash. By Johnny Cash.
That's awesome.
Right there.
Johnny Cash comic book.
And it's a comic book it's pretty much a Johnny Cash autobiography. And it starts with him, I spent 12 hours a day picking and singing in the cotton fields with my brother and sister, and talks about him going to the military and getting all popular with the music and getting on booze and stuff. And,
nice.
And the whole thing's about him eventually becoming a Christian. And by the end of the comic book, he's like, I kicked my drugs and everything, and I'm a good Christian man.
I've got some of those anti-drug comic books from back in the day. It's like Spider-Man telling me not to smoke joints.
Well, yeah, there's that. So there's that dare stuff type stuff. But this is more pro-Christian. Which just means, you know, no
with
drugs.
Johnny Cash.
With Johnny Cash. And, I mean, there's, like, Bible quotes in here. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6.
Weird.
Hey, that's actually a pretty good one. You know, regardless of your religious beliefs. That just makes sense. And then it was all about, also, look at this in here. They snuck in this comic book, they snuck in an ad for, what is this, a movie? Called The Gospel Road, produced by Johnny Cash and his wife. What was his name? June Carter Cash.
Oh, yeah. Look, it's being shown all over the world.
Yeah.
Just straight up right in the middle of it. There's
Right in the middle of the comic book. A huge ad for their movie.
Well, I mean, this is totally just a giant propaganda piece, but whatever.
Well, it's a propaganda piece both for Johnny Cash, for Christianity, and for this movie, The Gospel Road. So it's actually getting a lot of bang for your buck here at 49 cents.
Yeah.
So while you were reading cool comic books, I was reading stuff like that.
Oh, good for you.
But this
Chris.
Johnny Cash one is awesome. Hello, I'm Johnny Cash is great.
Good for you.
So run out to your local bookstore and get yourself a copy of, oh, wait. I might be the only person in America with a copy of this at this point.
Yep, you might be.
Hello.
If you can get it signed by Johnny.
Hello, eBay. If I can get it signed by Johnny, man, we got a whole set of issues to worry about outside of eBay. So there you go. Those are my special comic books that I have set up.
That's awesome. Before we get out of here, I want to talk about the top 10 most valuable comics.
So are we talking about
No. These are the comics that, like, if you have a mint condition copy of this comic book sitting somewhere, you just got a new house.
All right, I got a guess on one of them.
All right. Take a guess. You can guess as many times as you want.
The Amazing Spider-Man number 1.
The Amazing Spider-Man number 1. No, you are wrong, sir.
Damn.
If you are talking about the first time we saw Spider-Man.
No, because that's a Fantastic Four.
No.
Damn.
Well, actually, yes, it is.
Ha ha!
But it's still not the one we're talking about. The one that you're thinking about, Spider-Man on the cover, is Amazing Fantasy number 15.
Amazing Fantasy number with him and Fantastic Four on the cover?
No, it's the one where he's sitting there like this, and he's got the dude.
Sitting there like that with the dude.
You've seen it. I'm sure you've seen it. It's number 2.
Action Comics number 1.
Action Comics number 1. That is number 1. It
Boom!
has sold.
Pow!
It has sold. That comic book has sold for over $1 million.
God damn.
Same with Amazing Fantasy number 15. That's number 1 and 2.
God damn.
Over $1 million each of them. And then number 3, take a stab.
Number 3. Taking a stab. X-Men number 1.
No, sir. I'm sorry. Number 3 is the first appearance of Batman in Detective Comics.
I should have thought Detective Comics. So it was called Detective Comics.
Yes.
And DC was... What's DC stand for?
I don't think Detective Comics. I think it was by the publishing. Something about... Oh, man. I forget what it's called. I forget.
Oh, so it's not Detective Comics, Detective Comics?
I don't think so.
Detective Comics.
I could be very, very wrong, though, and there's probably a DC person who will tell me that on Twitter.
Damn! I forgot about the first appearance of the Batman. Only makes sense.
Also over $1 million. Number 4, Superman number 1.
Superman number 1. Okay, so
it is sold.
His first actual.
Yeah, it is sold for over $500,000.
So there's a big drop, though. It goes from a million really quick to halfway to 500,000.
Well, it's because of the rarity. There are literally...
Oh, that makes sense.
Like, there's a set number of Action Comics number ones.
That,
like,
makes sense. That's why...
There are only that many. There aren't anybody in anybody's basements anywhere know of yet.
That's why my mint condition copy of Bane breaking Batman's back...
is worth shit.
Or my sealed up copy, still sealed,
not
of
worth
Superman dick. Returning from the dead.
Because like 50 billion people had the same thing.
I mean, so many of them.
Yep.
Destroyed the industry.
Yep. Number 5 is Fantastic Four number 1.
Okay. Makes sense. Fantastic Four is very popular.
It sold for nearly $500,000. Marvel Comics number 1, which is the first appearance of the Human Torch.
Marvel Comics number 1.
Marvel Comics number 1.
So is that like Marvel's first? Marvel.
Well, and back in the day, you know, they just had, I don't know, think their first book, per se. It was just called Marvel Comics. Because Marvel was another company before it was called Marvel.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
This was published by Timely Comics.
Gotcha.
At the time.
Okay.
Who later became Marvel.
Makes sense.
Number 7, Batman number 1.
Okay.
It was released a year after Detective Comics number 27.
All right.
After, you know, the popularity.
They're like, damn, we gotta give this guy his own book.
Yep. And that sold for, you know, like $300,000.
So that was probably the smartest move ever.
Number 8, Captain America Comics number 1.
Captain America Comics. Okay.
First time you've seen him in his own flagship character.
Was that the one where he's punching out Hitler on the cover?
No, it was later on. Although it was released in 1941, so maybe.
Everyone had a shot to punch out Hitler. Too bad they had Wolverine punching out Hitler. It was like 20 years too late. Punching him with his claws out. Hitler's face would be like, ooh, with a claw through his.
Yep.
Go on. Yeah.
Dead Hitler.
Sorry.
It wouldn't be punched. It'd be dead Hitler.
It would be dead Hitler.
Number 9 is Action Comics number 10.
Action number 10. Wonder why. First appearance of Supergirl.
It sold for $258,000.
Man. Just a random one that happens to be rare.
Yeah. And number 10 is All-American Comics number 16, which is the first appearance of the Golden Age Green Lantern, not to be confused with Hal Jordan in that silly movie with whatever. That's a different Green Lantern.
Which one's Golden Age?
Golden Age. This is the one he had different costume. He had the old school lantern,
right?
You know, it looked like a handle lantern.
Yeah.
Red shirt.
Yeah.
Cape. Blonde hair. I don't know anything about him, but I just know what he looks like.
Remember his name?
No.
No. The Golden Age Green Lantern.
The only Green Lantern I care about is Hal Jordan.
All right. Fair enough.
So that's the top 10 most valuable comics ever.
All right. Well, hey, I got the first one.
And also, then now I want to talk about Chris.
Drew.
What comic book has the Guinness World Record for the best-selling single-issue comic of all time?
Best-selling single-issue of all time.
I mean, think of the seminal moments in comic book history.
I'm going to go with my gut and just say Death of Superman. Doomsday killing Superman. Bless you. Oh, three sneezes means I'm wrong. Damn it.
You are wrong, sir.
Two meant I was right and three meant wrong. I knew that.
You are wrong, sir. Number one, selling comic of all time.
All right, let me get it.
And don't even think Superman. How about that? So Superman's gone. Give me something else. I'm going to give you three guesses.
Batman breaking his back. Bane breaks Batman's back. Nightfall number 9, 12, whatever it is.
No, sir, and don't even think Batman.
Not even think Batman.
How about
this?
Don't even think DC.
Don't even think DC. We're going to Marvel, number one of all time. How about the Venom number one?
That was a shit guess.
I actually had a Venom number one somewhere.
I've got like three Venom number ones, but they're all different Venom number ones.
Spider-Man number 250.
No, sir. Not
Amazing
Spider-Man.
Man, number 250.
It is X-Men.
X-Men!
Number one.
The
relaunch. Remember when... Because for a while, it was called X-Men, and Uncanny X-Men.
Right.
And the Uncanny X-Men. This was the 90s. This is when the X-Men that you know started. With X-Men number one, it was X-Men Blue Team and Gold Team.
Okay.
The Gold Team was the Uncanny X-Men series that they kept running. And then they started new. It was X-Men. Just X-Men, covered by Jim Lee, sold altogether. That one issue grossed $7 million.
God damn!
One issue.
That's crazy.
$7 million.
Man, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of people.
There's a reason for that, though.
What's the reason? Because it was the first time you got to see Mystique's titties.
No.
No, that would have been a good reason.
Five variant. Covers.
Oh, geniuses.
This was the first time that you saw the variant covers.
Slow clap.
There were five of them. You had four of them. When you put them all together, they made one. And then you could buy a special limited edition one with no barcode.
Uh-huh.
Didn't have the barcode. Didn't have the Marvel logo. And then when you unfolded it, it was all of them.
That's ridiculous.
Now, not only did I have all of the regular ones, I had all five covers. But I also, that year at the comic book convention, they used to have them in the malls back in the day.
Right.
Before they were huge like they are now.
Right.
I went to a local one there, and my dad got me a print of that cover signed by the artists.
Nice. Very nice. Awesome. You still have it? Still got all that stuff?
No. I have all the comics, but not the print anymore.
Oh.
The print got trashed in a move.
Oh, that stinks.
So
that stinks.
It happens from time to time.
But
Ecker won $7 million.
Crazy.
So yeah, comic books are awesome. Comic books are fun.
Comic books are cool.
Whether you know about them at all, either through the movies, which we're not going to talk about.
Not talking about movies.
Or not, highly recommend you getting into the actual comic book version of your favorite characters.
Yeah, why not?
You know, pick them up, check out some of their side stories.
They have those essential things at the bookstores.
They
where
do.
It's like just the key stuff that you want to know about certain comic book characters, right?
Exactly.
Yep.
Or, you know, seminal moments. I mean, I'm sitting here sitting next to this giant thing called Marvel, Five Fabulous Decades of the World's Greatest Comics.
That's awesome.
I mean, it's huge. It's basically a freaking encyclopedia of Marvel. You know, they sell stuff like that. There's all sorts of nonsense, but I highly recommend graphic novels.
I do have a few collections of the early Judge Dredds.
Oh, very nice.
That I've read through some of that. I've got stuff.
I have a lot
British.
Of the old Conans.
Oh, yeah.
The supersized ones that still showed titties. Yeah, it was pretty awesome when I was a little kid.
That Frank Franzetta stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Great stuff.
Was it Frank Franzetta?
I don't remember.
I just like the alliteration of that.
Yeah, I don't know his name. But, yeah, go support your local comic shop. Pick up a graphic novel. Read something.
Oh, yeah.
Highly recommend it.
For sure. Yeah, don't go to the... I was thinking go to Barnes & Noble. Don't go to Barnes & Noble.
Go to your local comic shop.
They're dying anyway. Go to a local comic shop and support them.
Yeah, even if you have no idea what you are looking for, I guarantee you, if you walk in there with, you know, just asking, where can I get The Walking Dead? I'm sure you watch the TV show, start reading the comic book.
Yeah.
And, you know, people will point you in directions depending on your taste. It's just like any other store. They're very nice. Don't worry, geeks won't bite.
Yeah, they're nice people.
They just know about comic books.
They just want some business. They want to help you out.
Exactly, and they want to dork out a little bit, too.
Yeah, let them dork out for a second.
Exactly.
You won't get anything on you.
So this is Dr. G's 2 cents for the month of December. Chris, got any plugs?
On Twitter, at I am Chris Crespo, chriscrespo.com. There you go.
I'm at Antira419 on Twitter and Instagram. Follow if you will.
Oh, yeah.
And thanks again for listening.